بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد continuing with the kitab on our aqaid beliefs the next chapter is on taqleed taqleed refers to a person having trust on a knowledgeable person and practicing on his view without asking for any proof this law of taqleed is found in the quran and many ahadith taqleed is implemented in those matters in which number 1 there is no clear ruling in the quran and sunnah Number 2, there is difficulty in understanding its meaning. Number 3, these verses can have more than one meaning. Number 4, there is ambiguity or brevity in the meaning. And number 5, there are outwardly conflicting verses or hadith. The object of taqleed is that in those matters in which there are different matters of practicing, is to choose one path, trusting on the understanding and opinion of a pious scholar who had devoted his life to understanding Islamic concepts, instead of preferring one's personal opinion. It is obvious that this is much more precautious and correct. The knowledge, understanding, piety and intelligence of the great Imams, as well as being in close proximity to the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are such qualities which were not found to that extent in latter times, and more so today. The amount of trust which can be placed on them cannot be placed on people who came later as well as on oneself. The object of taqleed is only to follow the Quran and Sunnah. The only being worthy of being obeyed is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We follow the Anbiya alayhi salam because it is Allah's command and because they convey to us the laws of Allah ta'ala. The mujtahid is followed because he is explaining to us in detail the laws of Allah ta'ala which he has extracted from the Quran and Sunnah. The mujtahid is not sinless and he can make an error. For his error he will receive one reward. And for his correct ruling, he will receive two rewards. It is compulsory for a person who has not reached the level of ijtihad to follow a mujtahid. In the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, there were two types of taqleed. That is taqleed al-mutlaq. People would ask any reputable scholar regarding any religious problem that they faced. And number two, taqleed al-shakhsi. People would refer to only one person, one scholar, for all their religious questions. As time went on, the first form was abandoned, as people would go to different scholars asking for rulings until they found one which suited themselves. They would follow the easiest view, which conformed to their own desires, which in reality is not following the Sharia. From the second century onwards, all the people began following one specified person. Inshallah, we'll continue this chapter tomorrow. So one important point to understand is fiqh. Fiqh means understanding. So if a person asks you, who do you follow? Do you follow Imam Abu Hanifa or do you follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So outwardly it's a very nice statement. Do you follow Nabi alayhi wa sallam or you follow Imam Abu Hanifa? So you must tell him, no, your question is wrong. See, I am following Nabi alayhi wa sallam, but according to the understanding, fiqh, understanding of Imam Abu Hanifa, you are asking me to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam according to your understanding, what you can derive from the Quran and Hadith. That's your fiqh. So I'm not following your fiqh. I'm following the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa because I got greater trust in him. So see, your question is wrong. Because we're all following Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. It's just according to your understanding. So the word fiqh, fiqh means the understanding of deen and not following deen. The deen we're following is of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, but the understanding which Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi had. So this is an important point to remember. So many people bring this question to you. Say, follow Nabi alayhi salam or follow Imam Abu Hanifa? Say, no, following Nabi alayhi salam. And an easy example of this is that our qirat. You then ask the person, do you must follow the qirat of Nabi alayhi salam or must follow the qirat of Imam Hafs? Whose kirat you read? So he said, I read Imam Hafs kirat. So he said, why don't you follow the kirat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So he'll be stuck now. He said, no, I am following the kirat of, it's from Imam Hafs. So he said, similarly, I follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam according to the understanding of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. Allah Ta'ala give us true understanding. Last night in the Taraweeh Salah, the 21st para was recited. In Surah An-Kabut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the examinations people have to go through in life. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam went through the examinations and how they passed with flying colors and other people, the munafiqs and hypocrites, when they were tested, how they started shivering and how they started objecting against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally says that the plots of the kuffar and disbelievers and all the doubts which they put forward is just like a spider web, extremely flimsy, doesn't have any power at all. And for you to save yourself from all of these doubts and from the efforts of the enemies, you have to do a certain few duties. Allah Ta'ala says, أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةِ. You make tilawat of Quran Sharif, with read the Quran with the intention of hidayat, Allah will give you true understanding. And you establish salat, perform salat, Salat, when it's done properly, it prevents a person from immoralities and all kinds of evils. The more perfection there is in a person's salat, the more a person will come out of sins. And Allah says, "Wala dhikrullahi akbar," and the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest thing. So tilawat, dhikr and salat, these three things will take a person out of all of these doubts and the efforts of the enemies. And Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi once gave a bayan and he said, on Laylatul Qadr, the night, the Mubarak night, these are the three actions which must be done: tilawat of Quran, salat, and the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our Shaykh Hazrat Abdul Hamid Sahib, once he mentioned also that, Wallahu ya'alamu ma tasna'un. Allah knows exactly well what you are doing. He said, ponder, to make tafakkur on this night also about your past life, about whatever a person must sit on that night and think and ponder also, make muraqabah, ponder about his past life, ponder about the future, ponder about akhirat. This is also a very great form of worship. So anyhow, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that these people have got doubts about Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they got doubts about the Quran, very flimsy doubts. Example, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is so clear that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was ummi, unlettered. He never wrote anything, he couldn't read. But how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam brought the Quran forward? What a miracle of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So how can these people not accept it? And the Quran Sharif itself is such a clear sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if a person doesn't want to believe it, then what greater sign can Allah ta'ala send down than the Quran Sharif? So these are clear. If you just look at it and ponder, you will see the reality. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these people, unfortunately, when a person becomes stubborn, he's actually asking for punishment. وَيَسْتَعَجِنُونَكَ بِالْعَذَابِ. When is the punishment coming down? So when the punishment is going to come down, these people will be destroyed. Instead of saying, "Oh Allah, give us hidayat if we are on the wrong path," they said, "No, Allah must send down the punishment if we are on the wrong path." So this was the level a person goes to eventually in stubbornness, despite knowing all of the clear signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where they know Allah created the heavens and the earth, Allah has control of the sun and the moon, and Allah is the one who spreads out rosy and sustenance, Allah sends down the rains. All of these things, they know these things. But they're not using the aqal, bal aktharum la ya'qilun. They're not using their brains. And why? The reason for this is this worldly life has deceived them. So Allah said, let them enjoy themselves for a short while, but eventually they will face destruction. And finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the believers that you continue making jihad and mujahada and sacrifice in deen. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. We've got many paths of hidayat and guidance. If ever Allah will open up to a person many different doors, you just continue making mujahada and sacrificing for deen and to establish deen in your lives, in the lives of other people. You make the sacrifice and you see how Allah will guide a person. And one of the greatest benefits is when a person is sacrificing. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah is with those people in this world also and in the year after who got sincerity and they are trying and they are making effort in the path of deen. The next surah is Surah Ar-Rum. In here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the people in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was the mushrikeen, the polytheists, and the ahli kitab, the people of the book, who followed some kind of guidance. So at that time, the Romans and the Persians were having a war, and the Muslim people were in support of the Roman people because they were people of the book who followed a certain kind of guidance, even though it was partial guidance, it wasn't complete. And then you had the polytheists, the Persian people. Persians were like superpowers, very powerful. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said from the Quran that in a short while, less than 10 years, the Romans will overpower the Persians. The mushrikeen of Makkah said it's impossibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such. Within 9 years, the Romans took over and they destroyed the Persian people. And there was a sign for the believers that when these people are following partial guidance and Allah has given them victory over the polytheists, so those who are following full guidance, who are following the Quran Sharif, Allah will definitely give them power and dominance over the mushrikeen. So this was a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the prophecy of the Quran Sharif. So those people will continue striving and sacrificing. Eventually Allah will give them victory. They might go through some difficulties in life, like how the Romans went through some difficulties, but eventually they will get dominance. So Allah Ta'ala will eventually give the believers dominance. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions clear sign of Allah's qudrat in the world. When Allah has created like opposing things, example, Allah created sand, and suddenly from sand human beings are waking up and running. So why can't Allah Ta'ala create such power, the opposing forces to destroy the forces of batil, etc.? Allah has got the full power and qudrat to do so. So Allah Ta'ala created from yourselves wives, opposites, husband and wife. And Allah says the object of creating wives, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. So you'll get sukoon, you'll get comfort and peace with her. And Allah is the one, جَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. He is the one who created love and mercy in the hearts of people. So many people today, they want to get love themselves. They make an effort to get love. They go out before they're getting married. So then Allah, he comes out of the equation. He doesn't put the love in between. And say, after I got married, now I see there's problems in my life. Because Allah wasn't there. He didn't put the love. Otherwise, it's Allah's work to put love between people. So many people ask, must you have an arranged marriage or a love marriage? And love marriages make more sense logically. But Allah, when he comes out of the equation, and if Allah doesn't put love in that marriage, then no matter how much a person can try, no love will come. So Allah is the one who creates love between people and rahmah. When a person becomes old, that love now, that lust is gone, and a person got mercy for his wife, and how he looked after her, and how she looked after her husband, even though there is no desire in a person. So this is a clear sign of Allah's qudrat in the world, that upon people who ponder, and they will see, two people who came from different backgrounds, and suddenly how they unite, and they become more closer to anybody in the world. Before you lived with your parents, but now when a person gets married, the most closest person to him, every morning he wakes up, the first person he sees is his wife, the next last person he sees at night before going to sleep is his wife. What a connection Allah has placed between the two of them. So a person ponders about this, and Allah says, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. The object of this is to get sukoon. Why you get married? To get sukoon, peace of mind, comfort. And we mentioned this before in Ramadan, that Allah Ta'ala mentions three things in the Quran where you get sukoon. One is Allah has made your house is a place of sukoon. In buyutikum sakana. So the house is a place of sukoon. Other place Allah mentions is about the night. The night is a place of sukoon, place of comfort and peace. And the third thing Allah mentions is the wife. So ulama say that it shows that night you must be at home with your wife, not running around with friends and all other places. Sukoon you're going to get in your house, in your wife, in the night time. Majority of the time a person must be at home. Allah give us true understanding. Anyhow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions clear signs of his. And Allah says that a person, this is the natural system of Allah Ta'ala, a person who follows hidayat and guidance. And those who don't follow the natural system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all fasad and corruption happens in the world. Zahar al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydin nas. When we will go against the law of Allah Ta'ala, the natural system of Allah Ta'ala, then many unnatural things will happen in the world. Earthquakes will take place. Because we are doing unnatural actions, so unnatural things are happening in the world. Even our wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who are taking riba and they are taking interest, they are going against the normal natural system of Allah Ta'ala regarding wealth. So they are doing an unnatural thing. And compared to a person who is giving zakat and spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya Allah will put blessings. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُدْعِفُونَ. Allah will increase them in rewards in the year after. And even in this worldly life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant a person abundance of goodness. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the surah, he continues mentioning about his qudrat and his power. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about human beings, that how he created us. We were very weak when we came in the world. And after weakness, Allah gave us a little bit of strength for a short while. ثُمَّ جَعَلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ ضُعْفًا وَشَيْبًا. After that strength you got, a time will come now, you will have weakness within yourself. You will get old age. Allah can create as He wants to. How Allah created you the first time, Allah can create you a second time. There is nothing difficult. Unfortunately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that some people are not prepared to accept. And no matter what sign you bring to them, they say, إِنَّنْتُمْ إِلَّا مُبْتِلُونَ. This is all is batil, it's falsehood, it's not right. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, these people are not prepared to accept akhirat, the life of the year after. We have given clear signs about it. You just continue waiting, and eventually they will see the result in the year after. In the next surah, Surah Luqman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this hidayat and this guidance which has come to people. It is something which is so clear, and it's the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But one thing which stops a person from following this, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهُوَ الْحَدِيثِ. There are certain things in life which come, and they divert a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lahu al-hadith. In the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, some people used to buy these singing girls and take them instead of listening to Quran, come and listen to the singing girls. Or one person of the kuffar used to go and buy novels, books, and bring it back to Makkah Mukarrama and tell the people, read these books. Stories of the kings of the past, Isfandariya and all different people, the Roman kings. And you'll ask them, what's better? The Quran Sharif or this? Okay, the Quran is so much difficult laws. This is so enjoyable. And these women, and he'll give them wine and alcohol, and let them enjoy themselves with the woman. And say, now why are you going to the majlis of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? You have to learn about Quran. Quran, you have to fight against your nafs, you have to fight yourself. Rather enjoy yourself. So Allah says, there are people who are buying lahu al-hadith. Such speech which makes a person unmindful. And so the ulama say under this year included everything which will take a person's attention away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in there is music, in there is all novels and books which takes a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Manana Abu al-Hasin al-Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi says, in there is a TV. He said, there can't be a better word which Allah ta'ala could have described 1400 years ago for the TV. It's such speech which turns the person's attention away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And before it was a TV in the homes, today is a TV in our hands. The cell phone, which liyudilla an sabirillah. It makes, they buy these things to turn people away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or one kirat liyadilla. A person himself becomes misguided away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in today's time, other lahu al-hadith, sports, is also lahu al-hadith. Such speech which makes a person unmindful of the object of life, why he has come in the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all of these kinds of lahu, all of these kinds of futility, which turns a person's attention away from akhirat, the life of the hereafter. Our life is short, and the enemies have made so many different things to turn a person's attention away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says the opposite of it is Quran Sharif. But when the Quran Sharif is recited, wallah mustakbiran, people turn their backs away. Ka'allam yasma'aha, like they never heard it. Ka'anna fi udhunayhi waqra, like there's some kind of weight in the ears. They are unable to hear. Allah protect and save us from that. So we've got the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person holds firm onto this, he'll be safe from lahu al hadith, all types of futility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says his guidance is something so obvious. Look at Luqman radiallahu anhu, very pious person, how he called the people towards deen. He called his son, he advised him, oh my son, do not take partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the same guidance which is given to us by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Very, very clear. Don't make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look after your parents, fulfill the rights of your parents. And this is a very amazing thing the ulama say, that Luqman radiallahu anhu didn't tell his son to obey his parents. He just told him, don't make shirk with Allah ta'ala, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives the guidance here, that obey your parents. So Allah ta'ala brought it in between. So ulama say, when a person teaches his children the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will teach the children the right of the parents. Then a person will be able to fulfill the rights of his parents. Allah will put it in the heart of the person. I need to respect my parents. Today, one of the greatest reasons why children don't respect their parents is we have not taught them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We haven't given them deen. So automatically then they've got no respect for their parents or no respect for anybody at all. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no matter your parents are so great, but if they ask you to break the commands of Allah, to make shirk with Allah ta'ala, don't listen to them. But even though you won't obey them, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفَ, still live with them in a beautiful way in this world. وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ, follow the path of those people who turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with love and devotion. Follow those people. Don't follow your parents if they are wrong. But still you have to respect them and honor them. And then Luqman radiallahu anhu told his son about akhirat, the day of qiyamah. Allah is, you know, so the main thing he brought into his child was about the oneness of Allah ta'ala and about akhirat. Normally most parents, when they will start teaching their children, they'll start teaching them salat. You must read salat. You must do these commands of Allah ta'ala. That's very great and important. But before that, the effort has to be made on iman. The child must know what's akhirat, the life of the year after. So much must be put in, drummed in the mind of the child about the life of the year after and about Allah, who Allah is. Then automatically salat will come into a person's life. Then he told his son, command righteousness, prevent evil, have sabr, the quality of patience. And he taught him akhlaq and character also, how you must walk, how you mustn't have pride and arrogance within yourself, how you must lower your voice. It's the duty of the parents to teach his children all of this akhlaq and character and ibadat and aqaid and beliefs. This is the duty of the father, which Luqman radiallahu anhu did in a most beautiful way to his son. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues mentioning that despite these people, despite the clear signs being so clear, and the people know also when they're in problems in life, who they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then when the problems are removed, then they forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a clear sign of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is the only being who is worthy of worship. And it happens to us also, when we've got some problem in life, how we're on the musalla, we're crying, we're begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the day after that, as soon as the problem is gone, we don't even make turaqat shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in this worldly life, maybe you can save one another, you can help one another on the ship, in the ocean when you're in problems. And you call out to Allah, Allah will help you. But the time will come when no father will be able to help his son, and no son will be able to help his father, the day of qiyamah. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. Let not this worldly life deceive you, and let not shaitan deceive you regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got knowledge about everything, and Allah has got kudrat and power over everything. The reins is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of qiyamah, Allah will send one rain down and the person will come back into life. Allah knows what's in the past. Allah knows what's in the present. Allah knows what is in the future. Inna Allah alimun khabir. Allah is fully aware of everything. When Allah has got full knowledge and full qudrat, for Allah to resurrect you a second time on the day of qiyamah is nothing difficult at all. Allah will bring you back to life and you will have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So prepare for that day. When that day, no one will be able to help and assist one another except those who are pious people. Allah will give them intercession. But when will that will take place, we do not know. So prepare before that. In the next surah, Surah Sajda, which normally on the day of Jumu'ah we recite it, and the ulama say one reason we recite it is because in here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Qiyamah, about the day of Qiyamah, and we know the day of Qiyamah will take place on a Friday. So Friday, Jumu'ah, we read this surah, so we are reminded of these halat and conditions which will take place. Qiyamah is going to take place, and are we prepared for it? So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about certain signs of Qiyamah that is not far-fetched. When Allah created you the first time, For Allah Ta'ala to create you a second time is nothing difficult. And what is the scene of Qiyamah when people will be standing, their heads will be bent in the Rabbi before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, oh Allah, today we see, today we can hear, return us back in the world, now we will do good actions. We got yaqeen and conviction now. Now it's too late. Allah gave you eyes and ears in this world, a mind to think and ponder, but you never used it. Now that will be too late for a person. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those people who listen and obeyed, how much of success they will have in the year after. And in this worldly life, what they do, they humble themselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't have pride and arrogance. That the jafa junubuhum anil madaji'i. In the night time, they side separate from their beds. They wake up for tahajjud namaz. يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفُ وَطَمَعَ. They are calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having fear in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah has given them money, they are spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody knows what enjoyment Allah has kept for such people, hidden in the year after for them. And some mashayikh mentioned, even in this world also, the enjoyment Allah has kept in the heart of those people who wake up for tahajjud, who cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who spend their wealth in the path of Allah. Only they know exactly what Allah has kept for them. And those who are fasiqs and disbelievers, and wrongdoers, they'll never understand. They can never be equal to them. And eventually they will want to come back in this worldly life. Let's say sometimes in this world we test you with some difficulties and pains before the big punishment, so you can back to make ruju and come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So any halat and condition which comes in a person's life, he must ponder and think, why did Allah send this condition upon me? It's for me to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah gives us these conditions in life. And then thereafter, the next surah is Suratul Ahzab. In Suratul Ahzab, ulama say that if a person wants success in the akhirat, he will have to follow the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam is our spiritual father. An-Nabiyu ula bil mu'mineena min anfusihim wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum. Nabi alayhi salam has got a greater right than for the believers than their own selves also. This is his right and status. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam is the father of the believers. So the spiritual father of the believers. And he's not the biological father of any male offspring. Nabi alayhi salam had male offspring, they all passed away. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has got great rights over us. And because of this rights which he has got over us on the day of Qiyamah, he'll be questioned and asked about this ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, about this ummah, did they follow you, etc. So here the ulama say after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is rahmatul lil alameen. He is a mercy for the believers, for the whole mankind, and especially for the believers. But together with being a rahmat, Nabi alayhi salam is also a test to see whether a person is true in his following Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam or not, whether he's a munafiq or a hypocrite. So the life of Nabi alayhi salam is a gauge. And in the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, for example, the battle of Ahzab took place, the battle of the trench. This was extremely difficult, a lot of examinations at this time. If Allah wanted to, he could have made it very easy and given the believers victory. But Allah said, I wanted to test the believers. هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers were tested. وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. They were shaken extremely severely. And the munafiqs and hypocrites at that time said that Allah and His Rasul have only promised us deception. But the believers, they were steadfast and they held firm to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The iman actually increased when they saw all of these conditions happening. They said, هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. This is what Allah and His Rasul promised us. And Allah and His Rasul have spoken the truth. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانُ وَتَسْلِيمًا. It has only increased them in iman, acceptance and humbling themselves and surrendering themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there is a beautiful example for you. The life of Nabi alayhi salam, of his steadfastness in such conditions also. You're supposed to take lesson from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And is that for everybody? But a person whose object of life is akhirat, to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For him, the life of Nabi alayhi salam is a beautiful example. Allah make us among those people who've got these qualities. So we use Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as our example. And a person who follows Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then Nabi alayhi salam will intercede on behalf of them. So here Allah ta'ala is mentioning this incident in great detail, about 4 pages, to show what a difficult examination. So Allah ta'ala tests people through the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Those in our lifetime also, we have different tests and examinations. Sometimes the masala of parada comes in our life. Sometimes the masala, something or the other happens in our life. Am I following the way of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam or not? And the greatest test is actually at the time of jihad. Now in Syria also, they were saying that they could, if Allah gave them victory 5 years ago when they attacked, they could have got the victory that time. But the munafiqs and the hypocrites wouldn't have been removed. Now when they were going through these halat and conditions, many of the people left them slowly, slowly, until eventually there was a small force amongst them. But they were the sincere believers. Allah tested them, and they were tested very severely. And then they passed the examination, and then Allah gave them victory. They said in 1 week Allah gave us, which we never actually imagined. We thought we'll take over one place, one town. And Allah just made everything, whatever could have gone wrong, went right on that day. And how Allah Ta'ala gave them, and they explained how the victory was given to them. They were also tested like this. So it happens throughout life also. In Afghanistan also certain conditions came like this here. So through jihad, people's the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and love of deen is tested to the highest level. Allah Ta'ala save us, we are very weak people, but we are also tested in our life, that are you going to follow the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or are you going to follow, you're going to go against that path. Then a person now, he is tested at that time. So if a person remains steadfast, he'll see how Allah's help and assistance will come to him. Allah Ta'ala give us true understanding.